Today I'm reading from Matthew chapter 2, 1 through 12. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all of Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people, Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for this child. And when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen as it's rising until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another way.
It was a normal day. Nothing odd, nothing out of the ordinary, business as usual. The day had come to an end, dusk came, and night began to creep in. Routine fell into place. People scurried home or wherever it was they were going. Others were already inside, cooking dinner or finishing up the day's tasks, doing whatever it was they do in the same way they always do it. It was a day not unlike any other, until someone looked up. And there in the night sky was something no one had ever seen before. It was unreal. Those who saw it stopped in their tracks. It sent chills up their spines and their arm hairs stood on end. Something was happening up there, high above their heads, somewhere amidst the stars, something unlike anything they had ever seen. What was it? It was unidentifiable. An unidentified flying object? Was it an alien? A comet? Was it an attack? A star gone rogue? What was happening up there? Strangers gathered together, pointing up at the sky, eyes squinting, summoning to one another, eager to share the experience. People who would never dare talk to someone they didn't know suddenly were sharing in this crazy communal experience, eyes wide, mouths gaping, heads tilting upwards, watching this strange occurrence. What was it? Cars pulled off the side of the road to look. Phones reached out of windows and scanned the sky. Each a personal reporter to family members, recording, calling, snapping photos of the unreal. Social media was all abuzz. What is it? What's happening? Is this for real? Those who saw it will never forget it. And those who missed it, well, they missed it. It took strangers telling strangers and family members calling family and friends telling friends for people to run outside and look up, to stop whatever it was they were doing and actually look beyond themselves and their own stuff and see something completely out of this world. Yeah, either you saw it or you didn't. And that's how it was that night. Fortunately, in our world, we get to push share. And in seconds, everyone we know can see what we see. I was one of the ones who missed it. I was inside, working away on the computer, completely oblivious to the spectacle in the sky, until I checked Facebook an hour later and saw that my feed was filled with pictures and videos of all sorts, posts about the apocalypse and North Korea, aliens, and the like.
2nd stage light, right?
Oh, you know why it's so good? It's because sunset. It's getting the sun up there.
That's
why it's awesome like that. There's stage that big boost back. Yeah, it's because it's up in the sun. Dude, that's going to freak out so many people in LA.
Look how bright it is. Oh my gosh.
No, dude, what is that?
Guys, this is the end. North Korea.
Come on, there's gonna be an
God.
That's funny, because I saw, like, planes.
Did you see it? With only days before Christmas, I thought perhaps there must be wise people looking up at the sky, awaiting the sign that the baby was born. But alas, it was just a satellite launch. Or was it? I wonder how it was that night, 2,000 years ago. What did they see up there in the sky? Was it early evening while people were still bustling about, making dinner and arriving home from their jobs? No smartphones to capture the image, no Facebook Live to share with their followers and friends. Do you think the star rose in the sky with such flair? Was it a slow-moving comet? Did it come at 6 p.m. or midnight or 3 a.m. in the dark, dark morning when everyone was fast asleep? Was it there night after night or just one night? Could it only be seen by trained eyes that knew the map of the sky so well that they could spot a difference, a new light shining? Or could just anyone see it? Did you have to be someone special, someone royal, someone wise? Part of me likes to think it was something spectacular, soaring across the sky, a sign, a banner that lit up the night to tell good news for all to see and hear. And it was just out there, just blaring with this bright light, and only those who were too self-consumed missed it. But anyone with eyes to see, could see. Then there's a part of me that thinks it was a little bit more discreet, that it took someone with patience and concentration, that these wise ones were alerted not by the blaze of a comet's tail, but that they paid attention to little things, that the sign was small, the change almost imperceptible, that it took the right people looking at the right time to see that something was different, and that the smallest of changes can make all the difference in the world. I like the story either way, because, of course, either way requires us to pause from what we're doing and open our eyes and see. It could be this jolt that just hits us out of the blue and completely takes us by surprise, captivating us with eyes wide and mouths agape like that satellite launch. Or it could be something that requires our focus to take note, to pay attention to the small things and patiently look for miracles among us. I suppose that's how epiphanies are. They either knock you out, taking you by complete surprise, blowing your mind in disbelief, or they come on when you're focused, when you're patiently waiting, searching, seeking. I guess that means we have to be open to both. The wise ones experienced the epiphany in that night sky and were so moved, so transformed, so changed that they immediately set off to follow the star. That's pretty incredible. These guys were willing to drop everything and leave the comforts of home to follow this star. They apparently interpreted it as a sign that a new king had come. That's what they shared with Herod. They were going to pay homage to this new king. So they left their homes and brought gifts with them. Who were these wise ones? We don't really know. We like to think of them as kings, right? We three kings of Orient are bearing gifts. We traveled so far. But all that is just legend. So legend says that their names were, do you remember this? We've done it before. Balthazar, Caspar, and Melchior. You can count on Heather. And they're always depicted as kings. They're often represented as being from different lands. So Balthazar had the dark skin, and he was said to have come from Africa, while another came from Asia and another from Europe. They came from the east, though, this night, traveling, following the star westward until they arrived in Bethlehem. There's a lot to wonder about in this story. Maybe that's why there's so many legends that surround it. That's why we come back to it every year. There is so much mystery. Who were these wise ones? Were they kings? Were they astrologers, astronomers, magicians? Were they wise before they saw the star? Or was that a part of their transformation, that they became wise upon experiencing the epiphany? What was it exactly that they saw or experienced in that night sky that made them drop everything and go off in search of a baby? What did they think they'd find once they got there? Who else did they tell? Herod? Bethania? Remember her? Who else? Who else was willing to drop everything and come to have their lives disrupted, changed, transformed? And what did they think once they got there? I mean, they seemed to believe that they were coming to welcome a king. Were they disappointed when they found out it was just a little baby? And it wasn't much of a royal baby. I mean, his parents were poor. He was birthed into poverty. Luke tells us it happened in the middle of a barn, and they put the kid in a feeding trough. Matthew doesn't tell us exactly where it happened. Lots of images show them up in a cave. No matter how you slice it, this isn't a royal birth. Nothing like Kate's kids. Were they surprised that no one else bothered to show up? Did nobody else get the message? Perhaps the star in the sky wasn't as clear to everyone else. A little less satellite and a little more obscure star rising in a full night sky. No one else got the memo. Nobody else looked up. No one else dropped everything, compelled to travel night after night, bringing their finest of gifts. When they arrived, it was just this odd couple, this young girl and her older husband, and this fragile little baby. And you wonder, was it enough? Is it enough? That's a question for the ages. They don't stick around, these wise ones. They didn't stay to help raise the child, deciding to give their lives to serve him. We don't hear of them again, these strangers from a far-off land. They don't stop and write a note for posterity to check in with the high priest in the temple. They don't even go back to Herod. Did they know what was next for this child? Didn't they want to stick around to find out? I mean, these are Gentiles, right? They traveled all this way for a Jewish baby born to an impoverished couple destined to return back to his small village of Nazareth. And as they say, nothing good ever came from Nazareth. Would this baby be any different? Why didn't they go with him? Or why didn't they decide to take him home to their lands and treat him as a king should be treated? What happened when they arrived at his feet? Was it enough? Was it everything they imagined it to be? Or was it more? All we know is that they left differently than they came. They knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts. Did those gifts come with any wise words, any questions, any hopes and dreams and blessings? We don't know. They paid their homage, they gave their gifts, and they left. They returned to their own country in a different way. They couldn't go back the way they had come, see? They returned back to their lives, back to their jobs, back to their families, back to their responsibilities, but they didn't go back the same way they came. Sure, they avoided Herod. Their loyalty was to the baby, not to the corrupt king of Israel. That much is clear. They saw him for the fraud he was. But those last words always stick with me. They didn't take the same road home. They came back different. They returned to their lives, yes, but they returned in a different way. They couldn't go back the way they came. They wouldn't. Things were different now, and so were they. Yeah, there's a lot of mystery to Epiphany. The night sky, the rising star, the gifts, the wisdom, the journey, the baby. Is it enough? Is it enough to change us? Well, we know we have to head back to our lives, to our families, to our jobs, our responsibilities. That's a given. We're going to walk out these doors and go back to the life we know. But will we go back differently? Amen.